This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Watson at the gun. Here's the snap. Deshaun firing deep. And he's got him out of man. Will Fuller. Touchdown, Houston. Watson deep to Will.
You know, definitely. And I've been getting, you know, a lot of body work each week. And, you know, that's another thing. I really appreciate Brandon, you know, being here and coming to this team, because he done taught me a lot about, you know, taking care of my body, and, you know, has, you know, introduced me to a lot of good people who have been helping me keep my body up and going. So, I mean, it's the best I've felt. And, you know, it's almost the end of the season, and I feel great. I feel like I'm getting better.
That's Will Fuller, and that was in response to a question actually from Seth Payne following the game on Thanksgiving Day, as we welcome in our good friend, joins us each and every Wednesday in the 8 o'clock hour, the General, the Hall of Famer, John McClain, joining us. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great, John. We're doing great, better than Will Fuller and Bradley Roby are doing. I guess just your initial take here on the two. First of all, your initial take on Fuller and Roby, and do we know that is this thing contained, this PED thing with the Texans?
Yes, it is. They found out the way the NFL does this. They alert the player and his agent before they alert the team. Player can appeal. Neither player is appealing. Both of them came down Monday, and so I'm guessing it's contained. They all had, whatever they get, the way they get drug tested, they come and they tell you, okay, you're getting tested for PEDs. And I don't know how guys can be so stupid, because they tell every player from the time they leave college till they get to the NFL, they constantly harp on it. Do not put anything in your body that we don't approve. And that's easy to do. And so if you're taking, as Fuller said, some medical professional who gives him a supplement that the professional told him was good to go in the NFL, turned out it's not. Of course, it's on Fuller and Roby, who are using the same guy, and I don't know if it's the same supplement, but I was stunned that it happened. I think before that they'd had 5 guys in their history suspended for performance enhancing drugs, including Brian Cusick twice and Dwayne Brown once. They were the only regular starters who'd been suspended. So, you know, to me, it's incredibly selfish. You hurt yourself, you hurt your team, it costs you money. And in Fuller's case, I think when he signs a new contract, and I still think he'll sign here, is that he'll have to have a lot of money to protect them against another suspension, probably a lot of bonuses based on games in which he's active.
You know, John, that clip that we just played of Will Fuller, where he said that, hey, Brandon Cooks had helped Will Fuller out a lot and kind of directing some people to him to help him out, it does make me wonder how many other players other than Roby and Fuller might also be using this same guy, because the drug tests are completely random. You know, 1 week, sometimes you might get PED tested 3 weeks in a row and then not get tested again for another 6 months. So it's not like everybody's getting tested every week. And I wonder if it was just Roby and Fuller's bad luck that whatever supplement they were taking, they got tested that week. There might be some guys on the Texans right this moment who are like drinking all kinds of cranberry juice and trying to flush their system as fast as possible. So I wouldn't say eagerly awaiting, but I'm kind of like nervously waiting for these next couple weeks, and hopefully whatever these guys were taking, if it was more than just those two, that maybe it's cleared their system. But I feel like we have to ask Brandon Cooks the next time that he comes up to the podium, hey, is this guy that Will Fuller was using, is this one of the guys you recommended to him?
Oh, well, he's going to be on, I believe, Thursday. You can come on and be – somebody will ask him if it's not you, since he mentioned Cooks. I'm not trying to connect the dots to anybody. I think that would be grossly unfair because I don't have a clue. I was listening to Damon Amendola yesterday try to connect Brian Cushing. But fact is, when you get popped, you're going to be tainted, as these guys will be tainted for the rest of their careers. But as you saw with Dwayne Brown and Cushing's first one was in 2010. You can come back and you can play, and you can play well. And I think we'd be naive to think they're the only two players using whatever supplement it was going to this quote-unquote medical professional. And I would imagine there's going to be guys with other teams too, and they're all sweating it out, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. A lot of guys walked in on
that sauna. That sauna over there is probably packed. Oh. Like 12 guys in there jamming.
Great.
In
yeah, they're going to try to sweat. Now they're all going to give COVID to each other in a steam room or something like that. John McClain joining us for his weekly visit. John, I think you kind of tipped your hand as to what you think this means for Will Fuller's future when you said, do you think the Texans are going to re-sign him? I want your thoughts on Bradley Roby as well. What do you think? How do you think a new GM views both of these guys? But specifically, what do you think the future holds for Roby?
I think a new general manager as well as a new coach, they're going to, when they're obviously well aware of these guys and the way they played. Roby, I think, I don't know if he'll be back or not. You know, Romeo Crennel disciplined him this year, left him behind. I think Bill O'Brien, I know last year Bill was thinking about spending money, going out and getting a corner in free agency until they heard how much those corners cost. They re-signed Roby. He's still their best cover corner. And the more I think about it, the more I think the new coach is going to want to come in, and without a first and second round pick, that he'll keep Roby and they'll try to re-sign Fuller. And I think if they don't want to franchise him, they put the transition tag on him have a right of first refusal, because you have to protect yourself in case of a positive test in the future. And this is the third year in a row that Fuller has missed 5 games. Roby's missed 6 last year, and he's going to miss 5 this year. And of course, both will miss the first game next season. So, I think that, most guys who are good that get popped, they always come back. It's not career ending. If you're a borderline player and you test positive, you're borderline anyway. Usually it works against you. And so I think both these guys will be back.
I wonder how teams are going to look at Will Fuller's actual production this year, John, because in a lot of respects, it was going to be a career year for him, not just because he was a number one guy, but his yards per catch, you know, his touchdown production, a lot of this was better than he'd ever shown before. So do you think people look at the actual performance itself and think, okay, well, we're going to throw that out the window and look at more of his other years because this year was PED influenced? Or do you think that they think that this is more of who he actually is because he was out there healthy for all those games?
You'll always be tainted. I think it'll be looked at more from a health standpoint. You know, if you looked at, say, last year, he was always a good weapon. He was always going to be number two to Hopkins. And had he stayed healthy for 16 games, he hadn't been healthy for more than 14 since his rookie year in 2016. I think if he stayed healthy, his stats would have been really good. Nobody would have thought anything about it. Then with a chance to emerge, he has. And I think just like Watson is playing so well, that he'll continue to throw for a lot of yards and complete a lot of passes and spread the ball around. He just won't have the deep threat that he had with Fuller. And maybe that'll be Cooks. I'm not sure, but I think it'll change the nature of their passing game. The Colts play more two-deep coverage anyway that's designed to prevent those long plays. But I think that it's just like Dwayne Brown. Dwayne's suspended for 4 games in his third season, and then he came back and has had a great career and got 2 contracts. So if you come back, you don't get in trouble again. You know, you'll get paid. You'll continue. You have a chance to play well.
John, J.J. Watt meets with the media this afternoon. J.J. has not pulled any punches this year. When he's been disappointed, he's worn it on his sleeve. And even with teammates, he was openly angry with Ross Blacklock for punching a player and getting kicked out of a game. What do you think J.J. says today when he's asked about Roby and Fuller getting suspended?
I don't think it'll be anything like it was with Blacklock, who was a rookie still going through the learning curve. But I'm guessing he'll say he's disappointed. You know, we're going to ask – we'll have Watt and Watson today. Tomorrow we'll have more players, and then we'll have the coaches. That's the first thing all of them will be asked about about what they think about the suspensions and losing those guys and what it does to them on both sides of the ball. It makes their chance to win less. Right when they'd won two in a row and they were having a chance to upset the Colts, I wouldn't have picked them anyway, but they would have had a better chance with these guys. And there's two teams really excited, the Colts and the Dolphins.
Yeah, no kidding. The Dolphins are loving this right now, I'm sure. John McClain joins us for his weekly visit. Seth and I talked yesterday about, do we have a type when it comes to what the Texans are looking for in a head coach? We'll ask that same question of John McClain. Does he have a type when he is looking at potential head coaches for the Houston Texans? That is next. So yesterday, Seth and I kind of put four buckets together of prospective head coaches. At some point, we'll take the key prospects for the Texans in this head coaching search and actually put them in the buckets. But just as far as types of coaches go, you know, the Pete Carroll, rah-rah players type, the Urban Meyer CEO type, and Belichick's kind of CEO-like as well, the Dabo Sweeney televangelist type, the Bruce Arians sort of gruff worker bee type, you know, types. As we welcome John McClain back into the show, John, do you have a specific type that you're looking for when it comes to the next Texans head coach?
One of the things I liked when I interviewed Cal McNair week before last was, you know, he's talked about, you know, they want a strong leader, of course. And, I think, you know, they're not averse to hiring a coordinator who's never been a head coach. If there was somebody that's been a head coach that they like him, they'll do that. They'll hire the general manager first. And one of the things I know is they went from Gary Kubiak's personality to Bill O'Brien's personality. And I think the coach they have will be someone closer to Kubiak when it comes personality, somebody that unites the building instead of divides the building, and someone who doesn't have different camps of people. And they want people over there to be excited to come to work every day and work for the same goal of trying to win a Super Bowl. And the general manager, of course, will have a big influence. Cal McNair will make the final decision on both hires. But I do think it'll be someone who, I'm not going to say is a rah-rah guy, but I think it'll be someone who's an upbeat guy. You mentioned Pete Carroll. You know, there's not many as upbeat and as cheerful as Pete. I remember when he got fired in New England, one of their assistant coaches I knew very well who said, Pete will win for a year because he'll have Parcells' discipline carrying over. But right now, Pete's too much of a player's guy, trying to get along with the players, and it'll cost him. And it did. But by the time he got his third head coaching job, he had grown into that role. And he's done an incredible job working with John Schneider, the general manager in Seattle. And I know they'll work really hard to try to get a head coach and a GM who can work together for the common goal.
John, this is one part that makes me a little bit nervous, is just the timing of all of this, that interviewing and hiring a general manager and then interviewing and hiring a head coach after that, it feels like maybe you miss out on some of your top candidates if some of these coaches are flying off the shelves or making, like, let's say the day the playoffs start, Robert Saleh goes and interviews somewhere, you know, to a team that has a general manager, and he makes an oral agreement with that team. He's not allowed to sign a contract until, well, okay, the 49ers might not even be in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, I guess that's what I like. What are the Texans going to be in kind of a crunch in their ability to interview and hire a GM with enough time to also have a crack at the top candidates?
They will, but you got to get it right. And you can't rush and hire people just because you can run out and get a coach. The GM's important, but the head coach is the face of the franchise and the most important. There's a lot of candidates out there on both sides of the ball. We'll see one of them Sunday when the Texans host the Patriots. A lot of people think their defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, will get a head coaching job after being a candidate a couple times. You mentioned Robert Saleh from the 49ers doing a tremendous job with an injury-depleted team. They just swept the Rams, and Robert's from Michigan. There's talk about hiring him at Michigan, Michigan State, and Detroit. And one of the things that coaches might want to wait on is when you look here and you see an owner who's been very, very patient with his head coaches, and you see a quarterback and tackles and talent like they have at receiver, and I'm assuming Fuller will come back, in a defense that needs to be overhauled. But I would think that's an attractive job because McNair spent a lot of money. They've been very patient with the head coach. Of course, Robert Saleh was here and under Gary Kubiak. So I think that some coaches, if you have multiple offers or multiple teams want to interview you, you're not going to jump at the first offer. Like if the Lions, say the Lions hired a GM, an out-of-work GM, before they hired before the Texans hired theirs, and the season was over, and they interviewed Saleh, and they offered him the job, and he had a chance to interview other places. I'm guessing the Lions might not be his dream job. It certainly wouldn't be mine based on their history, that a guy might explain to teams, you know, I've got to do this before I let you know. And hopefully they would appreciate that. Now, a guy like the Jets with Joe Douglas, who already has the GM in place, and it looks like they're going to get Trevor Lawrence, but they are the Jets. And there's a lot that goes into being a head coach there. And so I don't know that somebody would jump on that job right away. But it's sure going to be a lot of fun going through the process. And I'll be glad when it's over, because you guys know change brings excitement.
Yeah, no doubt. Just quick aside, Robert Saleh from the state of Michigan. He went to Northern Michigan, and he's from Dearborn, Michigan.
Can't go wrong hiring a Michigan man, just like Jim Harbaugh.
or Gary Moeller. John, where do you think this Texans job stacks up right now? Since you, Seth, and I spoke last week, the Detroit, as you mentioned, head coach, GM positions have opened up. The Jags have fired their GM. I would imagine Doug Marrone is probably not far behind on the way out the door. You mentioned, you know, the Jets. I think the Chargers are in play probably to make some changes. Where does this Texans job, it's not just Atlanta and Houston anymore, they've got company. Where do you think it stacks up? And I'm guessing the answer may be different depending on if it's the head coach or the GM.
I think that both jobs, Houston and Atlanta, are the best. You go to the Chargers, you're always going to be second fiddle. You're never going to have a sellout crowd. You got a great young quarterback in place, though. You got to pay a whole lot more money out there. You got to pay so much more state income tax. You may go to a situation where you can't work in the office, and Detroit and the Jets are Detroit and the Jets, and Jacksonville's Jacksonville. So, but I think the best jobs right now would be Atlanta and Houston because of the ownership and the patience they've shown with their head coaches and the owners. They will spend money, and they will hire the people they think can do the job, and they'll keep up, and they'll stay out of the way. Arthur Blank doesn't make them sign and cut players, and Cal McNair doesn't either. And if you're a GM and a coach, that's an attractive situation. And some people are like, well, why would they want to come in here when they need a rebuild? The reason the Texans are where they are, their opponents that have beaten them are 55-20. I've never seen that in my 44 years of covering the NFL, a team that's played a schedule like that. The only game they've lost that they were favored to win, I think, was Minnesota. And they're underdogs in this game, would have been without Fuller and Roby. But next year they'll be playing an easier schedule, and they don't have their first and second round picks, but they'll have 8 picks. And the new GM will come in, and he'll slice and dice, and they'll get under the cap, be able to re-sign and sign a couple of players. So I think that this would be an attractive job. Plus, I'm partial to Houston and Texas and taxes. And if you're a coach and you want to live close to your stadium, not have to fight traffic, West U and Bel Air are great neighborhoods over there. So there's a lot that it has to offer compared to some of the others.
John, every time we talk about this, we get quite a few people recommending Lincoln Riley or asking about Lincoln Riley. My biggest fear and concern with Lincoln Riley is that any interest the Texans show him would be used mostly by Lincoln Riley just to get a pay raise at Oklahoma. He's making a paltry $6.5 million a year. Is there, do you get a sense that Lincoln Riley really wants to go to the NFL or could be pulled out of Oklahoma?
Have not heard that. You know, the Cowboys checked. He wasn't interested. You know, he's a native Texan, but he does a great job at a great program, although they're suffering so now much now they had to dust off Bob Stoops to come help him. And if indeed he ever wanted to go to the NFL, he's going to want to go for a team that has a quarterback. And there's nobody, including Trevor Lawrence, who's a great prospect, but has not played in the NFL, that would be better out there, I think, than Watson, who's been playing great. And I still think he'll play great without Will Fuller. And I think that'd be very attractive. But just like Dabo Swinney, I have not ever heard anything that even indicated he might want to go to the NFL. People see him wearing a Texans shirt. Well, that's because of Watson, not because he wants to come to the NFL. And maybe he needs a raise. What's he making, about $10 million a year?
Yeah, I think
can use a raise.
He was complaining that he had to take a pay cut because of the pandemic. Remember, he was trying. He was basically panhandling to Deshaun during his during Deshaun's Zoom call when he signed the new contract. Remember?
I mean, I had to start a GoFundMe for him and Lincoln Riley. If Lincoln Riley wanted to come to the NFL, he would have multiple offers, especially in light of Cliff Kingsbury doing a good job with Kyler Murray. You know, it's amazing to see. Two seasons ago, the Cardinals had the top pick. Now they're 6-5, helped on, of course, by the DeAndre Hopkins trade. But that shows what happens when you have a quarterback in place, and they're doing that without Chandler Jones and a couple other places. But Kingsbury's doing a really good job, and when they hired him, Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell, the owner, took a lot of heat for making that move, and now nobody's complaining about it. And I would think that would help other offensive coaches in college have a chance to at least get interviews.
John, I'm going to squeeze this one in real quick as we go to break, because I think the over-under on number of words for this answer, I'm going to put it at 1.5. Hey, Sean and Seth, can you ask McClain, is Rick Smith in the running to be the GM of the Texans?
See, 1.5 is a word.
Yes.
No.
That's, I knew, I, if I could have picked the exact words, that's exactly what I would have picked too. No. John McClain joining us for his weekly visit to the Hall of Famer. Up next, let's dig into this Colts and Texans game. And also, Seth and I went through some of the contenders in the NFL that were maybe exposed a little bit as kind of fugazi, as kind of phony. We'll go through some of these and see if John thinks that they are real or they are phony contenders in the league. More John McClain next. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Wednesday. John McClain joining us for his weekly visit on the show. So, John, you mentioned the Colts. We should dig into this game. How intrigued are you to watch Deshaun Watson now operate with Brandon Cooks as his one, and then who knows, I guess Kiki Kuti, maybe not lined up outside, but Kiki Kuti certainly is second most seasoned receiver. How do you think they fill out the depth chart at wide receiver for this game and moving forward?
They're supposed to get David Johnson back in the backfield. He's a good receiver. Duke Johnson's coming off a game in which he had the 33-yard touchdown catch and averaged 14.3 yards on three catches. And I think that they play three tight ends a lot. They've been using Farrell Brown as a fullback. They've been using him in the slot. They lined him up wide. He makes some big plays that don't show up in stats. He's a great blocker. I think Darren Fells will get a lot of short yardage stuff. And Jordan Akins, who had a great game 2 games ago and had 2 plays he could have caught for touchdowns in the Detroit game that Watson took the blame for, you'll see him get to play more. So you'll see a lot of three tight end formations. QT will play. And then Isaiah Coulter, the rookie 5th-round pick, who it's, you know, they drafted him for a reason. You know, he's an outside receiver. He's a bigger target. I think he'll get some playing time as well. And but I think Watson is playing so well. I wrote today about Tim Kelly, and if the offense continues, if Watson continues to play great, could that help Kelly's chances of staying here as the offensive coordinator under a new head coach, whether he's offensive or defensive, because they're going to have an offensive coordinator either way. But I'm excited to see it. I mean, Watson right now is the best I've ever seen a quarterback play in my decades here was when Warren Moon was playing at his best, and Watson is playing just as well as Moon since these last nine games after the first two, beginning with Pittsburgh. He's been on fire, and I like every time he takes a snap, I'm paying attention like I know all Texans fans are, because you never know what's going to happen. And it's too bad he hadn't had a running game. You know, he's on a pace to set career best for like every stat, including interception percentage, interceptions, sacks, average per attempt, touchdowns, interceptions, yards, completion percentage. And he's doing it without the threat of a running game.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the running game, John, because the Texans face the Colts this week. Colts have a genuinely good defense that didn't look so good at all last week, but they were missing three of their starters in the front seven. How is there a chance, John, that this Texans beleaguered rushing attack has some window of opportunity versus this Colts defense that still might have DeForest Buckner on the COVID list by game time? Am I tantalizing myself with a fantasy, or could the Texans actually, I don't know, maybe even rush for over 100 yards this week?
Is there an over-under on my words?
No, you can go at length on this one.
No.
Okay.
No, they're not going to run the ball on the Colts. They can't run the – you know, they've had three games in which they've rushed for 100 yards, two of them against the Jaguars, the other one the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, and half of those yards, John, are because the offensive line is not protecting Deshaun well enough. Like, he scrambles
right
out, and he gets 50 yards on plays that are not scripted for him to run. Like, it's
well, yeah, and the Chiefs had a method. The Chiefs' game plan was like, nah, go for it. Run.
Right.
Whatever. We're just going to – we know we're going to outscore you. We're just going to go ahead and slow you down a little bit. So, yeah, that was just not the same.
I'll tell you guys something that's going to be so exciting. Think about how tantalizing this is going to be. Soldier Field, the Bears and the Texans, the two worst running teams in the NFL. Texans will finally meet a running team that's worse than them. And it's weird because it's the Bears who, playing in Soldier Field, usually have a good running game. So you talk about a game coming down to the quarterbacks and the defenses, that's going to be next week. It's amazing how bad these teams are running the football. And the Texans' priority in the offseason, to me, has got to be a back. And I'm not saying paying a lot of money. You don't have to. There's a lot of third-round picks playing really well. And I look at what Jacksonville did with James Robinson, an undrafted rookie free agent, on a pace for almost 1,300 yards and 400 yards receiving. And you don't find those guys every day. You don't find an Arian Foster every day. I wish they'd give the ball to Scotty Phillips five times and see what they have. Because I remember that year when Foster was on the practice squad most of the season, he got activated. He was covering kicks. In the last two games, he got to carry the ball. He looked really good, but they didn't know what they had then, and they used a second-round pick on Ben Tate, and he got hurt, and so they started Foster. He had a great first game, and the rest was Texans history. And I'm not saying there's another one out there, but they can be had if you know what you're doing. And I think that has got to be the priority.
John, but I think what we're learning is, you know, watching Duke Johnson run for, you know, just as paltry an amount as David Johnson. After a year after Duke Johnson got 6.5 yards every time he touched the ball last year, is that this offensive line can't run block right now. And I think along those lines, let me ask you, there's going to be a new head coach who's going to bring in a couple coordinators, but let's take it a layer further with the position coaches. Which position coach for this team do you think is the most important hire for the new head coach that comes in?
Offensive line.
Yeah.
Because you got to have a new scheme. You got to have an attitude. I'm pretty sure the right guard, Zach Fulton, will be replaced. I'm interested to see when a new coach is hired and he analyzes the players up front. And another thing they have attractive is you don't need tackles. You know, if you're going somewhere where you got a quarterback and a tackle, that's pretty attractive. But, you know, I want to think about, you know, last year, Duke Johnson averaged 4.9 yards a carry. So did he just get to be trash over the season? No. They're really struggling to run the ball inside. And you knew that when Detroit had a bad run defense, and Duke had, I think, five carries of at least 5 yards and averaged 4.1 a carry, also had a zero. But that was the best job they've had interior, running the ball between the tackles, and it was nothing special. So I can't wait to see the changes they make on both sides of the ball. The new coach will evaluate these coaches. You know, he may say, he tells Tim Kelly, he says, I'd like to keep you as offensive coordinator, but I'm going to call the plays. I'm going to like to keep you as an offensive coordinator, and you call the plays. You have a great relationship with Deshaun Watson. He had a great season. But then, you know, Anthony Weaver also coaches a defensive line. I'd like to see him keep Weaver as a defensive line. I don't think they'll keep him as a coordinator, but those guys also may want fresh starts somewhere else. But they will hire a new offensive line coach, and that's the one to me that is the most important, because it's amazing when you consider how bad their running game is and teams only have to worry about one facet, and that's the passing game. It's still number three in the league.
Hey, John, do you have any kind of a relationship with Phillip Rivers?
No.
He doesn't know you at all?
No.
It's a question I've always wanted to ask him, but I feel like asking him this on a conference call would feel kind of rude. I want him to find out if people made fun of him growing up for the way he throws the football. Like his actual form. Every time I watch, somehow every time I turn on film and watch Phillip Rivers, like I'm shocked the first time I see him throw with that little pushing sidearm motion. I mean, I suppose like obviously the fact that especially when he's younger, he could fling it a country mile. But it's one of the most fascinating things in sports. And I guess I'm telling you all of this just to lead up to what is Phillip Rivers right now, and what do you think this Texans defense without Bradley Roby is going to do against him?
He turns 39 on the 8th, and right now it's interesting the way he played last year and this year. Texans won out there 27-20 last year, and Watson had a great game. Rivers had a good game, but they sacked him 5 times. This year with Frank Reich, he's only been sacked 10 times. He is getting rid of the ball so quick. You know, they're not a downfield passing game. They're all about timing, accuracy, get that ball out. They don't want him getting hit and sacked. So only 10 sacks. I haven't looked to see where that ranks, but I'm guessing it's right up there among the leaders. And he's playing really, really smart. But, you know, he's been in the league 17 years, and he should be. And so I don't think they're going to get to him. I think they will do a good job against the run, whether rookie Jonathan Taylor plays or not. They're averaging 3-point-something yards a carry. As a team, I think the Texans' run defense has been better the last 2 games. But I look for Rivers to work that ball, matriculate that ball down the field. The key is, can he get it in the end zone? And one thing, T.Y. Hilton, who has 7 touchdowns at NRG Stadium and averages 21 yards a catch, he's been hurt a lot this year. He's just coming off his best game and his first touchdown at just the wrong time for the Texans.
John McClain joining us for his weekly visit. John, I want to rapid fire some teams at you here that are either in the playoffs right now if the season ended, or they're on the fringe and they've made some noise this year. And you tell me, just we'll kind of rapid fire these, if these teams are for real or what the ceiling is for these teams. Do you feel like Miami is a real playoff contender right now?
I think they're a playoff contender, but I don't see them doing anything in the playoffs. If they get in there, I don't think they're going to beat Buffalo for the AFC East.
What about Cleveland?
No, I mean, I don't think Baker Mayfield, if he's having he went 3 games in a row at home without a touchdown pass because the weather was real bad and they relied on the running game. And their running game, as you guys know, is really, really good with Chubb and Hunt, both on a pace for 1,000 yards. But I just don't see Cleveland being a threat in the playoffs.
Las Vegas did not look good this weekend. Where are you on the Raiders right now?
Ooh, after they lost that previous game to the Chiefs, I remember people all over the country saying this team, they're going to be dangerous in the playoffs and really praising them. They're physical. They're like the old Raider teams. And then they just get annihilated by the Falcons. And are the Atlanta Falcons making their typical late run here?
Yes.
But that may help Raheem Morris keep his job, which would be good for the Texans, because they're another team competing for other candidates. But I don't look for the Las Vegas to be a threat.
All right, 3 more in the NFC. Arizona.
No, they are 6-5. They've been not a losing streak. They just haven't looked good lately. So I think they're exciting, and they might get a wild card. That's not going to be hard, but I don't see them going on the road and winning in the playoffs.
The Rams, who just lost to the 49ers this weekend.
Ooh, swept by the 49ers after they'd gone down to Tampa and looked so good. Jared Goff, I think they have not scored 30 maybe this season, and they were actually talking about him being benched out there. It's not going to happen, but they've got it. I don't even know who it is. They hired a defensive position coach for another team and made him the coordinator, replaced Wade Phillips. And he's doing a really good job, but their offense is not producing the way Sean McVay wants. So I'm going to say no.
Last one, Tampa Bay.
You have to say yes. With the talent they have with Brady, they've lost their last three games at home. They haven't looked good doing it, even though they made this last one look close. But they're just out of sync. But they have a lot of talent. They got a good defense. They just haven't been able to beat good teams. And that doesn't bode well in the playoffs. But of all the teams you mentioned to me, Sean, the one that I think has a chance to do the most damage would be them because of the talent they have on offense and receiver. And, of course, Tom Brady's experience.
John, how geeked are you for Wednesday afternoon NFL football today?
Well, it's going to be right when we're interviewing Watson and Watt, and then I have to write after that. But I told Carol I'm going to be writing in front of the TV, so you're going to have to move. I want to see the game. I want to watch RG3 because he's from Baylor, of course, greatest quarterback in history. And I'm just kind of eager to see how the Ravens play without so many of their players, and the Steelers have been waiting and waiting and waiting. And Pittsburgh should win this game being at home, but it's kind of intriguing. It's Wednesday afternoon football. Are you ready for it? I would think a lot of people are, but think of the money. I'm trying to think, what is it in the contract that NBC has where they have to show a tree lighting ceremony over an NFL game that would get so much better ratings?
Yeah. Oh, is that what happened? Is that why they're playing in the afternoon?
Yeah. They have a tree lighting ceremony.
What tree lighting? Is it the one?
I think it's in New York at Rockefeller Center.
Yeah, Rockefeller Center.
Not even the White House tree lighting ceremony. It's got to be contractual. I can't imagine that game being in prime time would be outdrawn by a tree lighting ceremony.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, John. So so Ravens Steelers this afternoon, and you've got the press conferences. John, you usually get first question with the guys on these press conferences. Is your first question for all three of these guys, Rack, Deshaun, and JJ today about Bradley Roby and Will Fuller?
All Fuller and Roby all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a big story this week. It impacts the season. It impacts this Colts game. I feel terrible for the other teams. They've been let down by these guys. And I'm intrigued to see. Sometimes, Seth, you played, you know, adversity can galvanize a team. And I'm eager to see how they play against the Colts. Indianapolis coming off its worst loss of the season, wanting to stay within one game of the Titans. They have to win.
Yeah, if, you know, 4-7, I guess we can be more intrigued by it than angry about it. If they were 7-4, oh my God, this would be. And Seth brought up a great point earlier, John. Can you imagine if Will Fuller had actually gotten traded to the Packers and then he failed a PED test? He'd be public enemy number one up in Green Bay right now.
Oh my goodness, with them. I mean, you know, it's not like they've missed him on that trade. They're playing pretty well, but boy, if they had offered, you know, say, a number one pick, which they didn't, then they would, I think, made that trade and he'd have gone up there. Ooh, boy. He wouldn't have gotten booed. You know, there's some teams, mainly the Eagles and Carson Wentz, who've benefited greatly by not having fans
yes.
in the stands.
No question.
Oh, yeah.
No question about it. John, before we let you go, which I think you kind of tipped your hand earlier, what's your prediction for this game on Sunday, Colts-Texans?
I think I'm going to pick the Colts by 7-10, and the Texans have been playing a lot of close games, 4-1 score losses. You know, you think about if they'd been able to score from the 2 at Cleveland, they came so close to winning that game, what might have been. I'm not talking about the playoffs, I'm just talking about their record. You know, they've had no chance for the playoffs for a while now. But I like Romeo. You know, who doesn't like Romeo Crennel? And everybody in the organization, the players, everybody's pulling for him. He's not going to be the next head coach, but it's good for him to win games because that's his goal every week is to win. And they're 4-3 with him as a head coach, including 3-1 after the bye week. So people pull for Romeo.
Yeah, if you don't like Romeo Crennel, you're a bad person. I think that's not even opinion. That's an immutable fact of the case here. John McClain joins us every week on Wednesday in the 8 o'clock hour. John, we appreciate the time as always, and look forward to talking to you on the pregame show on Texans Countdown on Sunday.
Sean and Seth, thank you guys very much. I look forward to talking to you before the game, and stay safe.
Yeah, you stay safe too, John. Enjoy that game today. What did he say? He's telling Carol to get out of the way of the TV. Is that what he said?
Get out of the way, Carol.
Yeah.
I don't know. The multitasking of being able to write an article while also watching a football game is something that would elude me.
It's admirable. All right. We head into the 9 o'clock hour. When did the Texans find out about the Fuller suspension? And what could Will Fuller have been thinking when he was saying these things 3 weeks ago? Did he even know what he was saying when he was saying this 3 weeks ago? That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.